Please take your Bible and turn to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 26. 1 Samuel, chapter 26. I'm hoping to complete this chapter this evening. And once again, we'll be looking at the life of David and David dealing with different individuals. Thus far in this chapter, we've looked at David dealing with Abishai. Abishai was a man that offered his support to David, but unfortunately, practically, he was of little, if any, support at all. And we learnt by the conversation that David had with Abishai that he addressed a man that meant well, but really he was immature. He dealt with immaturity with mature leadership, and that's what we need in our day. What we need for God's people to be involved in is to address immaturity with mature leadership. And last week we noted the fact that David addressed Abner. Abner was Saul's right-hand man. He was Saul's commander-in-chief. He had the responsibility of caring for Saul and for guiding Saul's army. And David addresses Abner's negligence in his failure to protect the king with godly reproof. So we must deal with immaturity with mature leadership, and negligence needs to be addressed with godly reproof. And David addressed Abner and challenged him concerning his negligence in a failure to look after the king. And now we find from verses 17 until the end of the chapter that David addresses King Saul himself. I'd like for us to read verses 17 and 18 and then we'll pray. 1 Samuel chapter 26, verses 17 and 18. And Saul knew David's voice and said, "Is this thy voice, my son David?" And David said, "It is my voice, my lord, O king." And he said, "Wherefore doth my lord thus pursue after his servant? For what have I done? For what evil is in mine hand?" Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask and pray that you would indeed guide us and lead us into truth. We praise you, O God in heaven, for your great faithfulness. Lord, may we be a faithful people for thy glory. Meet each one at that point of need this evening, and I pray that you'd prepare our hearts for your table. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do ask. Amen. We see from verses 17 until the end of the chapter that David holds King Saul accountable. The context of this passage of Scripture is, once again, Saul is out to kill King David. And that's evident with the initial couple of verses there in chapter 26, verses 1, 2 and 3, that once again Saul pursues the life of David. So this is the context of David's address of the king. We all need accountability, do we not? Saul was out to kill David. Saul has created this very unpleasant situation. But I'd like for us to answer the question, how does David hold Saul accountable for his actions? What can we do in dealing with individuals that are unkind to us, cruel, even hurtful? Or individuals that have openly and overtly done the wrong thing? How do we deal with them? How do we hold them accountable? Especially when they claim to belong to the household of God. What do we do with them? This is the King of Israel. This is no secular king. He is the king of a spiritual nation. This is meant to be a man of God. And this very man of God is responsible is held accountable for his pursuit of a man of God by the name of David. Saul is out to kill David once again. And I think the application is there for you and I, because as we go through the Christian life, all of us will find ourselves in situations before individuals that might be a little bit unkind to us, might not deal with us with reverence. We might even find that some will be cruel or say unkind things to us or about us. How do we deal with these individuals? How does David deal with the king of Israel who is out to kill him? How do we deal with people that are not nice to us? Well, first and foremost, I'd like for us to note in verse number 17 that David honors Saul as a person and honors his position. There is no irreverence in the life of David towards the very man that is out to kill him. Note then verse 17 that he said, "It is my voice, my Lord, O king." Now, what sort of a king was Saul to David? Well, not much of a king. Far from it, in fact. But he still honored him as a person. He still respected him as a person. And he still respected his position. I'm sure that David really had little regard for Saul's life and actions. But he still showed respect, because this is still the king of Israel. He saluted the authority that this man represented. And in dealing with people that are unkind towards us, or possibly a little bit cruel, it's still right to do right, and it's still right to honor them as a person and honor their position, no matter who it might be. We must show due respect to those in authority. And that's exactly what David does with the king. Now, really and practically, does Saul deserve any honor? Talk to me. Far from it, really. What an unstable character. Not worthy of any honor, really. But he is still the king of Israel. And David honors him. He said, David said to Saul, "My Lord, O king." He still respected him. We see this throughout the scriptures, where men and women of God, like Nehemiah and Esther, what a great woman of God that honored those in authority. Though those in authority were godless, they still honored their person and their position. And I believe that's where we need to start in dealing with difficult people, dealing with people that have hurt us or been unkind towards us. I believe we still need to follow the example of King David. Well, he's not king as yet, practically. He is in theory, but not positionally. But follow the example of David, who still honored him as a person and respected his position. Secondly, I'd like for us to note in verse number 18 that David confronted Saul by simply asking the question, "Why are you seeking my life? What have I done wrong to deserve this treatment?" There in verse 18, "Wherefore doth my Lord pursue after his servant? For what have I done? And what evil is in mine hand?" So we see not only that David honors Saul as a person, he gives him due respect as a fellow human being, but he also honors his position. But secondly, we see in verse number 18 that David confronts Saul by simply asking the hard question, "Saul, what have I done wrong? Tell me, what have I done wrong? Why are you ill-treating me? Why are you seeking my life?" It would have taken some courage to be so bold with the king of Israel, would it not? And this is what we need today. for you and I to hold one another accountable for our treatment of one another. And David to simply ask the question, what have I done wrong? Why are you doing this to me? Why are you trying to kill me? Why are you trying to pursue me? What have I done to warrant this treatment? He holds him accountable. It's amazing how we choose whom we will like and whom we will not like. And those that we will give a second chance to and those that we will cut off straight away. And I see it all the time within biblical Christianity. Well, it's Christianity. I'm not sure if it's biblical Christianity. But David had the courage to say to the king, now, come on, you tell me, what have I done to deserve this treatment? Tell me. You're out to kill me? Okay. Spill the beans, please. Tell me, what have I done? What have I done to deserve this treatment? And so what David does, he holds the king accountable. And brethren, we need accountability, do we not? And I believe we need to hold one another accountable. And if somebody does something that they ought not to do to you, then you should hold them accountable. You need to ask the question, why are you being unkind to me? Why did you say this about me? I believe it's important. We need that. Will somebody say amen? We need accountability. People like to mouth off and do all sorts of things at their leisure, but nobody likes to be accountable for what they do and what they say. And we need to be like David of old, who said, okay, what have I done wrong? Why did you say this about me? Why did you do this to me? Why are you out to kill me? What have I done wrong? And thirdly, I'd like for us to note then verse number 19 that David, with a spirit of humility, is prepared to get things right if he has done something wrong to the king. Note then verse 19, the first part of that verse. He said, now therefore I pray thee, let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord have stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. And what he was saying, in essence, here, is that, King, if God has led you, and if God has revealed something to you that I've done wrong, and God has revealed this to you, will you please let me know, because I'd like to get it right. I'd like to present an offering. I'd like to get things right between you and I. So we see a spirit of humility in the life of David. If God has led you to this, King Saul, let me know what I've done wrong and I would like to get it right. See, David wanted to reconcile his differences with Saul if he had done anything wrong. So David not only said to King Saul, Saul, now will you just let me know what is it that I've done wrong? And then he goes on to say, now, King, if God has so led you, note the wisdom in such a statement, if God has so led you, if God has revealed something to you that I've done that's ill, will you please let me know? I'd like to get it right. I'd like to present an offering. I'd like to present a trespass offering, a peace offering. I'd like to get it right. Spirit of humility in David. And this should be our desire with one another. Not to be hurtful towards individuals, but to simply set things right. And David said, look, if there's anything that I need to get right, I'm prepared to say sorry. I'm ready to go. Just tell me, what have I done wrong? Note the spirit of humility here. And then in verse number 19, he goes on to say, but if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord. For they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, go serve other gods.
So David not only said to the king, "Now, king, if I've done anything wrong, please let me know, because I want to get it right. I'd like to say sorry. I'd like to just get it right. Just let me know, what is it that I've done wrong?" But he also said to the king, he said, "Now, because of your treatment of me and the way that you've chosen to deal with me, you have kept me from worshipping the Lord. You have hindered my walk with God. In fact, you have so driven me out to the point that I cannot worship God as I want to worship God. And in fact, it would seem, O king, that you are basically saying to me, you go and worship other gods." That's how David felt. So we see that David is very transparent before King Saul. Go serve other gods. Now, I would like to think that Saul really had no intention in encouraging David to worship other gods. Would you agree with that? But David put the responsibility on the shoulders of King Saul and said, "Now, Saul, by your actions and because you will not tell me what I've done wrong, you have driven me into the wilderness, and I've been on the run for all this time, and I haven't had the privilege to worship God as I've wanted to worship God. So you've affected my worship with the Lord." So David now gets very personal. Worship is for the Lord. And Saul's actions were hindering David from giving God his due worship. Saul's foolish action was robbing God of glory because David was hindered in his liberty to worship God. And likewise, when you and I are unkind to one another, we are infecting people and hindering people from the worship, the opportunity to worship God as one would like. And David said, "Hey, look, the way you've treated me, it's as if you've cast me out, and it's as if you said to me, go and serve other gods." I'm sure that wasn't Saul's intention. But that's how David felt. And David holds Saul accountable. "Saul, you've kept me from worshipping God as I would like to worship my God." And then we move on to verse number 20. Are you still with me this evening? You're awfully quiet. Okay, look at verse number 20. "Now therefore, let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord." Here we find that David pleads for his life, acknowledging the Lord's watchful eye. So let's review a little. So far, we see that David honors Saul as a person, honors his position, O king. And also we've noted here that David confronts Saul. "Saul, what have I done wrong? Tell me, please, what have I done wrong?" And then David, with humility, said to Saul, "Now, Saul, if I've done anything wrong, please, I want to get it right. I want to offer an offering to you. I'd like to get it right." And then David said to Saul, "Saul, your treatment of me has kept me from worship, has hindered my worship." Lesson number 5 this evening, as David deals with this man that is out to kill him and to hurt him, David pleaded before him concerning his life. But I'd like for us to focus upon that little phrase, "before the face of the Lord." David was strongly aware of God's presence in his life. In fact, in Psalm 139, the psalmist said, "Well, where can I go, Lord, from thy presence? Wherever I might be, God, you are there." David had a very strong sense of God's presence. Now, obviously, this was not true of Saul. He was so consumed with his own insecurities and his own jealousies that he was out to kill young David. I would say that David had little regard for God's presence in his life. And David, very kindly and with reverence and respect, said to the king, God's watching. God sees everything that's taking place and transpiring. Go to Proverbs chapter 5, please. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21. Proverbs 5:21, the Bible reads, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." God sees all. And David was very mindful of that very fact. And before King Saul, David said, "Please spare my life before the face of the Lord." That was very wise. Because God's watching, said David to King Saul. And brethren, I would say that our lives will be revived on the spot if we would live with the awareness that God sees everything. He sees every thought. He hears every word. He witnesses every action we make. When you know you're being watched, that has a way of holding you accountable. Nobody likes to be watched. God's watching. God's watching you. God's watching me. And David very wisely said to the king, God's watching. God's watching. God sees everything that's taking place. So God sees everything that you've done and wanting to do to me. So David acknowledges the presence of God, and David is trying to lead King Saul to come to that point of where he will acknowledge that God is watching. Aren't we so foolish from time to time? We carry on and we say things and we do things and we think things as if God doesn't know and God will never find out. How foolish can we be from time to time? And we're all guilty of that. But God sees everything. God knows everything. And I have no doubt that you and I would experience instant revival. We won't need to go to an NBF and get back to true biblical Christianity. We'll be revived on the spot. We can save time and save money just by being living under the awareness that God, I'm in the presence of God, and God sees everything. He sees my thoughts and hears my speech and he sees my actions, and one day I'll stand before Almighty God and give an account. We'll be revived on the spot. We won't need to go to any conference. See? We can save poor Pastor Zaydan a whole lot of money. He can put all that money to his building fund. See? David said to Saul, Saul, God's watching. I think people that are unkind towards us need to be mindful of that, especially those that claim to be the children of God. God's watching. And then in verse number 20, he went on to say, for the king of Israel is come out to seek a flea. For the king of Israel has come out to seek a fly. Now David has shared this piece of wisdom with King Saul before. But obviously Saul's a slow learner. And David said to Saul, Saul, you are wasting time. It's as if you are out chasing flies. Have you ever tried to chase a fly? Pretty hard, isn't it? A teenage girl confessed the other day that she swallowed one. And she said to me, Pastor, is it possible to swallow a fly? I said, yes. I think I have, she said to me. I said, congratulations. Everybody has to swallow a fly at least once in their life to be a true Australian. So congratulations. You've been initiated. You're an Aussie now. You've swallowed a fly. But have you ever tried catching flies? I had an uncle that loved to pursue flies. How many of these, can you still buy them, those little plastic fly swatters? And he would spend much of his time walking around the house. Now, from observation, not that I ever said a word to him, I don't recall him being very successful with that little fly swatter. And David said to King Saul, "Saul, what are you doing wasting this time chasing flies? It's as if you are chasing flies. You know how hard it is to chase a fly in the open air? Pretty difficult. Next to impossible." So what David was trying to do before David, I don't believe he was being disrespectful. He's basically saying very wisely, "Saul, you are wasting time here. You are wasting God's time. What a vain pursuit. Why would anybody bother trying to catch a fly? What value is it? What a waste of time. Saul, you are wasting your life. You are wasting valuable time in pursuing me." And brethren, the Bible teaches us that we are to redeem the time, for the days are evil. We need to make every moment count for God's glory. And David said to Saul, "Saul, you're wasting time." But also note in verse number 20, he went on to say, "As when one doth hunt a partridge." A partridge was a very small little bird in the mountains. Once again, next to impossible to catch this little bird, this partridge. And what David was trying to convey to King Saul by that statement is, "Saul, you've got some misspent priorities here. King Saul, what are you meant to be doing? Aren't you meant to be leading a nation? Why are you chasing me? You need to reevaluate your priorities. What are you doing? You're not only wasting time, but is this your priority? Is this what you're meant to be doing?" Beloved, if we would just occupy our lives doing what we're meant to be doing, we'd have no time to be involved in activities and actions and reactions that are unpleasing to the Lord. If we would just stay busy doing what we're meant to be doing, and David was just simply saying to Saul, "Saul, what are you doing? Why are you chasing this delicate little bird in the mountains? You have no hope, pal. Misspent priorities. Waste of time." This is where Saul was at. And this is often where people are at when they are wanting to be hurtful and unkind. "I'll waste time." Look at verse number 22. Let's continue to note David's wisdom before this man. Are you still with me this evening? Look at verse 22. This is wonderful wisdom from this man of God. How do we deal with people that are hurtful and unkind? "Oh, but Pastor, nobody has ever been hurtful or unkind to me." Well, take your ticket. It'll happen. Get ready for it. And it might even be a Christian. In fact, you'll probably find in your Christian life, you get serious for the Lord, it'll be more Christians that are trying to hurt you than non-Christians. Will somebody say amen? I can assure you that's the fact. So we need to be prepared. We need to respond biblically. And note here in verse 22 what David said to Saul. We find in verse 21 a confession. We'll come back to that. But look at verse 22. "David answered and said, Behold, the king's spear." He said to Saul, "I've got your spear, O king. Let one of the young men come over and fetch it." David exercises caution. Saul, unfortunately, cannot be trusted. So David, in his wisdom, didn't say, "Oh, bring your sword back, king. Here it is. Buddies once again." No, he didn't do that. He said, "This man can't be trusted. I can't trust him. He has no credibility." So David very wisely stands his distance, and he said to Saul, "Saul, send one of your men over to collect your spear." That's wisdom. And when you find that people are unkind to you, are hurtful to you, wisdom would say, stay your distance. That's wisdom. That's what David did he not? Talk to me. Yeah. Oh, boss, that's being unkind. No, that's just being wise. Saul has no credibility. Saul has been out to kill David. What for? He's innocent. So David exercises some wisdom, and he doesn't, mind you, this is following a confession. Verse 21, it does read, Saul said, "I have sinned." But still, David exercises some caution because this man has no credibility in his life. David exercises caution. Unfortunately, Saul cannot be trusted. We cannot trust the world, we cannot trust the flesh, and you cannot trust the devil. How sad that the king of Israel could not be trusted. My friend, we need to walk cautiously before the Sauls in our lives. Those that have been unkind to us, those that have been cruel, those that have been disobedient to the word of God, wisdom would say, stay your distance. Give them time to prove themselves. Saul to date has not proven sincerity. Saul has not been trustworthy, sad to say, of a king, the king of Israel. So David said, send one of your men over and you can have your spear back. Caution. And then in verse number 23, David is not afraid to make reference to the judgment of God. There in verse 23, the Lord rendered to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered thee into my hand today. But I would not stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. So David is not afraid to make reference to the judgment of God. David said, look, my conscience is clear. I had the opportunity once again to kill you. I did not because it was a violation of the word of God. I'm not afraid of the judgment of God. I'm not afraid of standing before the Lord. My conscience is clear. I believe I've done right, and I believe that God will honor righteousness and God will honor faithfulness. David understood accountability. And this was not evident in the life of Saul. And David said before the king, King, God be judge. God will reward righteousness. God will reward faithfulness. And if I've done anything wrong to date, I don't believe I have. God's my witness. God will judge. I think indirectly David was trying to say to Saul, now why don't you just leave me in the hands of the Lord? If I've been unfaithful, God will deal with me. If I've been unrighteous, God will deal with me. David had a clean conscience. He was true to his conscience. He said, Saul, I've had the opportunity once again to kill you. And I said, no, because it's just not right. Look at verse 24. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord. Let him deliver me out of all tribulation. See, David said to Saul, I'm more concerned about what God thinks than what you think. My life is before the eyes of the Lord, and that's what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about what God thinks. In other words, Saul, God's view of me is far more valuable to me than what you think of me. You can imagine the varying opinions that people had of David because of Saul's treatment. But David, in the midst of adversity, being under fire, kept his hand on the plow, stayed in the word of God, kept his heart right, and lived an upright and faithful life. David was not a man pleaser, he was a God pleaser. And may God help us to be God pleasers. The fear of man bringeth a snare. There are so many individuals like Saul of old that are just driven by what will people think. And David assured King Saul, he said, "My king, I'm concerned about what God sees in my life. I'm concerned about God's view of me. I'm not too concerned about what people think of me." And I think it would do well for us to have the same attitude. Well, verse 21, let's read together. "Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool, and have erred exceedingly." We see within this verse Saul's confession. Saul is confronted concerning his desire to kill David. David gives him due reverence. David holds him accountable. David is prepared to get things right with Saul. David said to Saul, "Saul, you are hindering my worship of the Lord." David said to Saul, "Saul, God's watching." David said to Saul, "Saul, you're chasing fleas, you're wasting time." David said to Saul, "Saul, you need to get your priorities right." David exercises caution. David acknowledges the righteousness of God, that God will judge. David said before Saul, "Saul, I'm not concerned about what man thinks, I'm concerned about what God thinks." Wisdom that prevails in the life of King David. And all this led to Saul confessing, "I've sinned." Saul acknowledges his sin. And then Saul went on to say, I won't hurt you. I promise you, David, I won't hurt you again." Now, he said this before. Are you listening to me? He has said this before. Now, what do you expect from David? Saul said this before, and here we find Saul chasing David once again. He has said this before. "I won't hurt you, I promise you, David, I won't hurt you ever again." But we see in verse 21 that Saul acknowledges his foolishness. He said, "I've played the fool. I've made some unwise decisions." Then he went on to say, "I've erred exceedingly." So we see Saul's confession. Seemingly Saul wants to get things right. Saul acknowledges the fact that he has been very foolish, he has done wrong. Yet David, in verse 22, exercises caution. Well, verse 25 reads, "Then Saul said to David, Blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and also shalt still prevail." So Saul pronounced a blessing upon David, and then note how the chapter ends. So David went on his way. Where was that? Back into the wilderness. David went on his way, back into hiding. And Saul returned to his place. What a sad ending to a great chapter. But I think the lesson for you and I is simply this, brethren. We need accountability, do we not? We need to hold one another accountable. David addresses Abishai, his immaturity. David addresses Abner, his negligence. And David addresses Saul, who is out to hurt him. We need accountability. We need to love one another enough that we will hold one another accountable for God's glory. And as we seek to deal biblically and spiritually with those in our lives that have not done the right thing, may God help us to respond in a spiritual fashion. And we have some wonderful principles from this very chapter that will help us in dealing with people that are not doing right towards us. And if you've never had it happen to you, you've never had anybody be unkind to you or nasty to you, well, put your seatbelt on, it will happen. I'd like for you to just remember these verses. Respect them. Ask them with boldness, what have I done wrong? Be prepared to get things right. Make it known to them that you're affecting my spiritual life. Remind them that God is watching. Tell them you're wasting time. Tell them you need to reevaluate your priorities. Be cautious. Acknowledge the justice and judgment of God. And David said before this king, I'm out to please the Lord. My conscience is clear. I'm out to please the Lord. What a wonderful response to a king that was not acting very spiritual. May God help us to respond spiritually to the Sauls in our lives. Let's bow for prayer.